Do you ever look at a cat or a dog and find yourself thinking, man, that's the life? Anybody ever thought that? We talk about this a lot in our house with how great it would be to be a dog. I mean, you get to sleep whenever you want. You get to play all the time. People feed you. You don't have to do any work or anything to worry about. Well, except you have to report in every day on the activity of squirrels and rabbits on the perimeter of the property. But other than that, dogs seem so carefree and happy, right? Or think about the life of a cat. That seems even better in some ways because somehow a cat can get away with anything. And people are like, it's a cat. What are you going to do? I mean, they can lounge in the sun all day. And if they don't feel like being social, you're like, give them their space. They're a cat. I mean, their every need is met. What a life, right? The Bible doesn't talk a lot about cats and dogs per se. But there is a lot of talk about sheep and shepherds. In fact, the Bible is filled with imagery of shepherds. And some of this is beautiful and inspiring, calling to mind the depth of God's love for us. But some of it's challenging, especially to those who hold positions of leadership or power. This metaphor, this imagery, it's so relevant. It speaks to people across all eras, right? We resonate with this idea, whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it is today. And just like we can look at the life of a dog or a cat or a sheep and think what a wonderful life when they have a loving, responsible owner, we could also understand how difficult or painful an animal's life is when it's neglected or abused or not taken care of. And so Jesus speaks in this way in John with this imagery, and he's speaking to this highly religious audience, and so I think they would have immediately called to mind, as Jesus was talking, certain other passages from Scripture, some in a very positive light, things like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or maybe they thought about Moses, who was found the burning bush while he was out shepherding his sheep in the wilderness. But then there are also other passages that are challenging, like in Jeremiah 23, where God speaks through the prophets to condemn false shepherds, bad shepherds who are leading God's people, Israel, away, doing harm in God's name. And so I want to share just a few words from this passage in Jeremiah chapter 23 to see what this is about. It says this, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds that shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back into the fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. And they shall no longer fear or no longer be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord." This false leadership, this manipulative abuse of power under the guise of religious authority, it was a problem all the way back in the time of kings, and so God sends the prophets. It was a problem in Jesus' day as well. That is why Jesus speaks these words. "Those who came before me are thieves and bandits. They came only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, the good shepherd, one true shepherd, came to bring abundant life." Friends, there are so many voices trying to be your shepherd. Voices that sometimes are bandits and thieves trying to steal your joy or turn you against your neighbor. This comes at us all the way from eloquent false prophets to TikTok influencers or just people who maybe are a bad influence on your heart. There are would-be shepherds all around us. And some of this is intentional, some of it's not intentional. But see, here's the thing. Did you notice how Jesus needed to pivot mid-teaching in this reading? I find this fascinating. In verse 6, it says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Why not? I think because most of the time, if we're following a false shepherd, we don't know we have a false shepherd, right? I mean, think about it. If we knew they were false, we wouldn't be following them. How many of you have ever heard someone say, yeah, this guy's a thief and a bandit and is totally playing me for a fool, but I'm going to follow them anyway, right? No one ever says that. So Jesus goes deeper. He presses on. Look, it's like sheep. They may not be able to articulate it. They may be easily led astray, but they know their shepherd's voice. Something inside just clicks when they hear that familiar voice speak to them. Maybe it's the tone. Maybe that tone communicates a deep love. Or maybe there's a gentleness in that voice that lets them know that they will be treated with care always. Or maybe that voice has this quiet, resolute strength they can trust and know that deep down that this voice comes from someone who will do whatever it takes to protect them. But a stranger's voice doesn't sit right. It might say the right words. It might point them in the direction supposedly of a pasture, but something feels off. Now, they're sheep, mind you, so they can't articulate what that is, but there's this sense of being unsettled deep down, and maybe we felt that way sometimes. Maybe there's a voice in the world, or maybe a cultural value or a societal pressure. It seems like everybody's doing it, but it just feels off. Maybe that's your heart or the Holy Spirit working in you saying, that is not the voice of your shepherd. See, Jesus isn't just the good shepherd. He's your good shepherd. He is your one true and good shepherd. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. And still, he loves you completely. He's always waiting for you, always searching for you, always calling out to you, ready to give you rest, ready to give you peace. And it's amazing to me how Jesus speaks to us in this way, about us in this way. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I would do anything for them. Even lay down my life. They know my voice because I've been with them from the moment of their first breath. You see, friends, I think in this reading we heard today, I think Jesus reveals the heart of his mission. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Friends, there is a life waiting for you, a life of abundance that Jesus wants for you. What does that look like, though? Well, number one, abundant life does not equal a busy life. Sometimes we're tempted to think that and we get confused, but it is a beautiful life. Abundant life is a life where you can experience true rest and true peace, where you can slow down enough to be filled with joy and wonder and beauty, where each morning can be filled with not stress, but hope for what's to come. Number two, abundant life is a life of trusting God for our daily bread, knowing that God is there. A life where we can be free from worry, free from fear, free from hunger and stress and strain. Number three, abundant life is a life of belonging. Notice how Jesus talks about sheep, which are social animals, right? They move in flocks together. In our modern culture today, there is this epidemic of loneliness, but abundant life in Christ is a life of connectedness. This is why at Good Shepherd, we say that we value real relationships. This is why part of our vision is that every person would be known and know others, because Jesus himself gives us this vision. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And number four, abundant life is a life where there's unity. Where there is unity. Jesus says there will be one flock and one shepherd. And in a divided world, what a gift this is. Finally, I love this last piece that Jesus says in verse 16. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold yet, and I must bring them also. You see, this abundant life, it's not just for me, it's not just for you, it is for everyone, for all people. There is always more room. And this abundant life Jesus offers, when we experience this, we experience the depth of beauty, belonging, and abundance, and it can't help but flow out of us and shine in this world. And then we feel this excitement to invite others into this pasture with us, come in and find rest. And friends, the thing about Jesus' pasture, it never runs out of room. The grass is always green. The water is always clean. And there is always room for more. So here's what I want you to take away with you today. Know this. This pasture, this abundant life, it can be yours right now. Jesus isn't talking about some distant maybe future. This pasture, this life, Jesus wants us to have it right now. And it might feel like, how is that possible? The world is too crazy, but Jesus said, I have overcome the world. This is a spiritual reality. It's the presence of God in our lives, which nothing and no one can take away from us. Or you might be thinking, but Pastor, you don't know all my mistakes. You don't know all my addictions or my past or the things I've been through. Well, this good shepherd never gives up, never tires of going after lost sheep, always coming after us. This abundant life, this invitation is for you. So this week, here's what I encourage you to do. Don't wait. This pasture can be yours today. But how do we enter into that? How do you start to experience this abundant life? It starts with prayer. It starts by spending intentional time with God every single day. Now, for some of you, that might feel really natural and easy. Maybe that's something you're already doing. For others, you're like, man, I would love that, but I have no idea where to start. Well, friends, that's why the staff at Good Shepherd, we've put together different resources to help guide you and be able to experience God's presence every day. And I actually put these all in the sermon notes in the app this week. So if you have our mobile app in the sermon notes tab, you can tap on that so you don't have to remember all these things. But I want to share a few highlights with you that I put there this week to consider how to get started. Number one is one of my favorites. It's called Lectio 365. It's a mobile app. I start and end every day with this. It's this guided prayer practice that just helps me quiet the voices and experience God's presence and hear from God through the word. Another option, number two, is Joe Elvis, our director of youth ministry. He writes a daily devotion every single day. I'm not really sure how he does it. It's amazing. But he puts that on Facebook, and we're going to be putting it in the mobile app and the website soon as well. It's an amazing way to start your day. Always a beautiful experience. A third thing, Pastor Amy has recorded some guided prayer practices, leaning into some ancient contemplative things, the imagine prayer, breath prayer, examine prayer, and I added along with that some guides to the examine prayer and the Lectio prayer, all in the mobile app. These are ancient prayer practices that have helped people, countless people throughout the ages, enter into God's presence in deeper, deeper ways. These are just a few. Whatever it is, don't wait. This pasture can be yours right now. Still those other voices so you can hear the voice and listen to the voice of Jesus, your good shepherd, inviting you to come in and find rest. Will you pray with me? God, I give you thanks that you are with us always, even though the noise of this world gets in the way and sometimes we can forget, sometimes we miss your presence, you never leave us. God, help us still our hearts and minds and quiet all these other voices that we could hear your voice, our one true shepherd, and that we could begin to live into this reality you have for us of abundant life, a life filled with joy and hope and community. God, we thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.